Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Coverage of Chiefs and Bills brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. We have all of our registrants for today for the playoff tickets. Four-pack of playoff tickets. We'll do it again tomorrow, 8:30 to 9.
Why not?
Every 5 minutes, we're going to get somebody registered to win those playoff tickets. So seven more chances tomorrow between 8:30 and 9. Be listening. We've got all of our registrations for today. But you can play a little Pick the Bill to win a 16-inch specialty pizza from the guys at the other place. Very simple game. Ryan's going to give you three names. Two usually have something in common with one another, and the other one is a Buffalo Bill.
Layups this week.
Don't grab a roster. Don't cheat. Play on the up and up. We're learning this week's opponent together. It is another edition of Pick the Bill.
I feel bad that I didn't realize Casey Kasem had been dead for like almost a decade. Yeah,
but I don't know that anybody has figured out what to do with the body yet.
I'm just doing it off memory.
You're right.
That it was they
so
were
is it like frozen right
they
now.
They were fighting over what to do with him.
Yeah,
and the wife had one idea and the kids another idea.
Right.
Loretta from Cheers is his wife.
Loretta is. Body's finally buried.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. Loretta, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah.
Yeah. That's Casey Kasem's wife. Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Hmm. His body was buried in Norway, by the way.
Probably per his wishes. I don't know. Kids want him buried in America. I don't know. Anyway, that's our Casey Kasem update. Just
I'm glad we all got caught up to speed on
713-576-7610. Time to play another edition of Pick the Bill. Very simple. Ryan's going to give you three names. One is a bill. You tell us which one's a bill. Get three in a row. You win pizza from the other place. Blake is up first. Blake, pick the bill.
All right, Blake, here is your first set of names. I've got Reed Ferguson, Mike Becker, and Justin Woods. Pick the bill.
Ferguson.
He is correct.
That's right, Reed Ferguson.
Turd Ferguson.
I would have guessed left-handed pitcher in the Marlins organization.
He is the long snapper for the for the Buffalo Bills. Mike Becker, Justin Woods, as we all and Blake know, are high school principals in the Independence, Missouri.
That's right.
Area. Oh, okay.
Reed Ferguson, how do you do, sir?
Shout out to Mike and Chrisman Justin. And Van Horn on that. Mm. All right, Blake, one down, two to go. Alan Willis, Andre Roberts, and Harry Bentley, pick the Bills.
Roberts.
Andre Roberts is correct. He is a wide receiver for the Bills. Alan Willis, Harry Bentley, both characters from the Jeffersons. We all know that. Mm-hmm. Can't sneak anything past Blake. Two down.
Neither of which were George.
Two dates, right. Two down, one to go, Blake. Got Dallas Frazier, Hank Cochran, and Brian Winters. Pick the Bill.
Frazier.
Oh, I love that you said it with confidence.
He was
no.
So close. Dallas Frazier and Hank Cochran were both nominees for the 1967 Grammy for Best Country and Western Song.
Oh, that was the time the Bills were good. That last time the Bills were good.
Of course, Hank Cochran was in that.
Of course.
Yeah, should have known that.
Brian Winters, an offensive guard for the Buffalo Bills.
Aptly named for Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
So that leaves a line open. 913-576-7610 to play Pick the Bill. Get three in a row. You win pizza from the other place. Steve is up next. Steve, pick the bill.
Steve, your first set of names, my friend. We've got Ron Hunt, Trent Murphy, and Dan McGann. Pick the bill.
Murphy.
Yeah.
Trent Murphy, correct. He is the defensive end for the Buffalo Bills. Ron Hunt, Dan McGann, both MLB players to be hit by 200 or more pitches in their career.
Congratulations.
So that's...
I've never heard of Dan McGann, and obviously he played a long time. If you hit by 200 pitches in Major League Baseball.
How many did Alex get hit by?
Like 140-something, I think?
Don Baylor leads the league, right? Like, he's the all-timer,
isn't
he?
I'd have to double-check. I think it's Biggio. I thought it was Craig Biggio. Yeah. I might be wrong about that.
Should have been Bonds.
Really should have been. No, honestly, it should have been. Like, people pitched to that guy.
Yeah. He crowded the plate, and I would have never walked him. I just dotted him.
That's a question next time we have Matheny on. Did you ever pitch to Bonds?
One down, two to go, Steve. Your second set of names, I've got Harrison Phillips, Mike Diamond, and Adam Horowitz. Pick the bill.
I'll go with Horowitz.
No.
I should do this one. I knew this
one. That's incorrect.
Big Beastie Boys fan.
Incorrect. Mike Diamond, Adam Horowitz, the... two of the three members of the Beastie Boys. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Harrison Phillips, the defensive tackle for the Buffalo Bills.
Father of Wilson Phillips.
That's right.
What? That was Carney Wilson.
Oh, okay.
Wasn't she Brian Wilson's kid from the Beach Boys?
Correct.
Yeah. Also of San Francisco Giants fame?
Used to be a program director at KMBZ named Brian Wilson.
Oh, that's cool.
Very common name.
So I wasn't right with Wilson Phillips?
No.
I guess we're not going to get a winner.
We don't have a winner
today.
Pick the bill.
I'll eat the pizza. Dean Marlowe, Ryan Bates, Lee Smith, all bills we didn't get
remember
to know.
Remember Lee Smith
week.
Pitching for the, yeah, for the Lee Smith Cubs, good.
He
right?
was intimidating. Mm. I always liked
he was intimidating. You saw him come out of the mound, you're like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
You're done.
Yeah. Not so much the tight end position, but certainly as a closer.
As a closer, yes.
Yeah. And Dean Marlowe, that doesn't sound like a safety either.
Oh, that sounds like a lounge singer at the cigar box. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, Dean Marlowe takes center stage. Dean Marlowe.
That guy opened for Tony Clifton. That's not a big Tony Clifton fan. Okay.
I remember Miss Clifton.
I was thinking the band that played with Dean Marlowe. I didn't know. Dean Marlowe and the something.
And the Sinatras. Didn't Dean Marlowe play with Sinatra out in Vegas?
That is correct. That's right.
He was part of the Rat Pack.
The Rat Pack, right?
Yeah,
him and Sammy Davis.
You're right. Yeah. You're right. Dean Marlowe. I do remember that.
That's right. Him and Sammy Watkins.
That's right.
Junior. Sammy Watkins Jr. Yeah. That's right.
We got some work to do. We had the Bills coming up on Sunday. We didn't do complete work on Pick the Bill. So we all have to do our homework a little bit better. All right.
Mm-hmm.
I love this. I love this story from college football.
It's so 1955.
Because it's just so old school.
It's also like old school, like mafia type stuff.
So Tennessee fired their coach over the weekend. Jeremy Pruitt.
What will you remember from the Jeremy Pruitt era?
I think he got his name painted on that rock there or whatever for like a day, right?
Okay.
When they were trying to hire him.
Do you remember they were going to hire Greg Schiano, and Tennessee fans lost their minds.
Correct.
And so they hired Jeremy Pruitt.
Yeah.
It's now Jeremy Pruitt's out
and
Schiano's at Rutgers.
He's out.
Okay.
So now they're alleging recruiting violations. Dan Patrick... The Dan Patrick Show, you can hear on our sister station, 1660 The Score. Dan Patrick reporting that volunteer assistant coaches.
Dan Patrick reporting.
were handing recruits cash in McDonald's bags when they visited campus.
Well, how else would you give them the money?
Was there also McDonald's in the bag?
So I have many questions about this. One, I feel like it's terrifically old school. We've heard all those stories. You know some of those stories about handshakes with bills,
right?
And
slipping the money through the sleeve. And,
Anybody that, especially like at Power Five schools, anybody's been at any of those schools, went to any of those schools, has a story about somebody having money.
That's right. Who the bad guy was?
Right.
I mean, we've heard about that all the time, Josh, and kind of joked, that's the bad guy.
Or new players who had money, whatever.
We're not naming names, are we?
That had cash, whatever. No.
Okay.
Again, I've told the story on the air. I had a friend who roomed with an athlete at Iowa, and he had a cash drawer,
right.
And we would occasionally borrow from it to go drinking.
Mm-hmm. Did he know you were borrowing from it?
I don't think it really mattered. Yeah. Don't think it really mattered. So
I think that's called stealing. Actually,
Terrific. Well, so we're stealing from boosters. Like, whatever.
Right.
It was
bad money anyway, yes, so it's fair game.
Right.
It's dirty money.
At least I did something good with it. Went drinking.
Yeah. You went back and helped the economy.
That's
of
right.
the
right. right. We the helped recycle that money into the Iowa City economy.
Underage, we
for
went
sure.
and drank on dirty money.
For sure.
That's a great story.
For sure. So the whole, they had McDonald's bags with cash, I think is so terrific.
Was the cash like the Big Mac box? You had to open the box to get it?
I had one.
Where'd you get the McDonald's bags?
Don't you realize you could probably pay guys off actually in McDonald's, like your college kids, give them a bag of food and they're probably good.
Oh, right? Yeah. I think you meant pay them off in the actual McDonald's.
Did you ever get one of those 50 buckets of nuggets?
No.
Yeah. Woo! That'll keep you happy for a while.
I'd be
real loyal to a school. They're like, here's some McDonald's. They're like, all right, cool.
Yeah, food does go a long way in buying you off. Right.
And then
it?
Secondly, did
knock
they
back some beers, kill those nuggets, turn the bucket into a helmet? It's a perfect night.
Yeah.
And two, did they get busted because all the bills smelled like French fries?
Fries. Yeah.
Because that smell does not go away.
So
you go and have McDonald's. Ryan would know this. You've been at McDonald's more recently than Bob, but
hurtful.
I'm just saying you and I can relate. You have that bag. One, it smells up your car, so even if you're trying to like shame eat in the garage, not that I've done that at all.
What do you hide in the garage and eat McDonald's?
Yeah,
are you hiding from the kids?
I've crushed it. Yeah, like I don't want to.
Just out there crying, eating a shamrock
and
shake.
And then walks in and goes, "What's for dinner?"
Yeah,
and your wife goes, "You smell like fries."
Yeah, the smell stays. Stays in the vehicle, but or on your hands or whatever. You can't get that French fry smell off your hands. Those bills just stink. I mean, it's blatantly obvious. You could just go around Knoxville, I would think, and just start sniffing bills, and you know who got paid.
Guy's named Bill?
Let me see your money. Does it smell like Big Mac sauce?
Now, let me ask you this, though, and this is a legit question, because this is the way my mind works. Was it one of these things where, like, if you played on the team and you went to McDonald's, you were required to turn in your bag so they could use this? Or did they have somebody on the inside at McDonald's that gave them fresh, clean bags to use?
I don't know. There's so many questions out of this.
Like, it was a used McDonald's bag? Like, the guy stopped and got his, like, Egg McMuffin in the morning. He's like, oh, crap, I got to drop off a
C-note. Yeah, like, all the assistant coaches were, like, they had to go get a McMuffin every morning
and
bring the bag to Pruitt.
So
they would have bags in the back, and anytime they needed a bag, they went to the stash.
Right.
Or did they have somebody on the inside who was working at McDonald's, like one of the coach's kids,
a real bag
that would swipe clean, fresh bags from McDonald's? I need more. I want more of the story.
I do want more of the story.
I can't wait for more of this story to come out, because it's just terrific. You're paying guys cash in McDonald's bags.
Right.
That shouldn't even warrant you getting busted, I don't think. I mean, that's just blatant old school.
That's just cheating.
Money.
I mean, you're not even trying. At least Venmo people cash now, right?
Nah, there's a paper trail on that.
That's true. There's also a paper trail clearly with the McDonald's bags.
No, I mean, you throw the bag away.
You get a filet. I don't want a filet of fish. Open it.
More for Dan Patrick, who I'm convinced is the guy who posed for the dude on the Kingsford charcoal bag. If you got Dan Patrick out here reporting it, I mean, you know.
Oh, yeah, I'm not
we
doubting
it. We would never found out had it not been for the Kingsford charcoal, man.
Had it not been for that meddling Dan Patrick. No, I'm not doubting the story at all. I know there are people obviously down south will doubt it because they think college football is above all down there and they can do whatever they want. How could you say this never happened in my school, Tennessee?
Oh, we do it in Zaxby bags.
Yeah, we... We'd give them sweet tea.
I'd like to believe that it's all like based on like regional restaurants.
Yeah.
Like in Nebraska, you're getting Runza.
Yeah, it's not that Auburn's ticked about it, but you're like
Pac-12 is serving up In-N-Out bags.
Yeah, Auburn's like McDonald's bags. Come on,
we got Zaxby's.
You know, whatever. You know, I'd like to think the mocking's going on that way. So
yeah,
Alabama just makes you come to a waffle.
Isn't there a place called Bojangles that's a fast food restaurant down south? I think there
sounds
is.
Right. Sounds
I've
right.
heard of yeah. Bojangles. Yes,
like in Texas, they're handing out Whataburger bags.
Yeah. It's just all based on your region. He's a big Chiefs fan, Nashville recording artist. He wrote the Chiefs anthem, Run It Back. We played it for you on our air. It was played out at Arrowhead on Sunday this past weekend as well. Blaine Howard will join us next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
bells hung, the boys all got their rings. The last one took us 50 years, but we're loaded up. The gang's all here, and that trophy is staying right here in KC. This ain't no other season here in Chiefs Kingdom. So run it back for the boys from 69, back for the fans on 12.
That is Run It Back by Nashville recording artist Blaine Howard. We got it, I don't know, a couple months ago, probably, the first time we played it. Month ago, probably, in that neighborhood. And we're like, wow, this is legit. It's actually a real, like, song. We get a lot of songs that are, you know,
like
you,
big you, old Pat.
Yeah, you recording at your computer, which is great and fine. I love them. But this one is like,
and
well,
if you have one, send it.
Yeah, we're like, this is
are
legit.
Are you trying to knock Rockin' Rick Patterson?
Maybe.
The Mahomie Show Me Shuffle was the highlight of last season.
I think some of them are incredibly funny, but this is like well produced and went into a studio and then it mixed and all. Really, really well done. So Blaine Howard, Chiefs fan, who is a Nashville recording artist. And the song was played at Arrowhead. Chiefs have kind of adopted a little bit as well, put some highlight videos together with the song,
yep.
And played it at Arrowhead on Sunday. And we had a chance to catch up with him. He couldn't have been more pleased that the song was playing at Arrowhead.
It was so crazy. I had a friend that was in the stadium, and she sent me a screenshot text of the 106.5 like playlist that you could go vote. And I was like, well, I've got the Chiefs app. I'm going to go vote and see how it's looking. I was like, oh, my gosh, like we're at 70%. I think we're going to win this thing. And so I'm texting everybody I know, like, if you hear it, please record it, because I have no way to hear it. And so I'm waiting and waiting and waiting, and then I'm watching the CBS broadcast, and I can hear it playing in the background on the TV, which was a really cool moment for me. That was just I was amazed.
Well, let's talk about the song Run It Back, man. Why did you decide to write that song?
A couple of years ago, I finally got to go to my first game at Arrowhead. I grew up in Arkansas, and then I live in Nashville, Tennessee, so Kansas City's not really a close trip from any place that I used to live or currently live. And so I did a little parody video a couple of years ago just for the playoff game, and it kind of took off on the little, you know, Chiefs message boards and Facebook groups and stuff like that. And so I thought maybe this year when it came around that maybe I should just write my own original version. Or original song for the Chiefs. And I was really racking my brain trying to figure out, like, you know, do I write it more just about the Chiefs and include players' numbers and all that stuff? But this year is so much about Run It Back. That's been the motto since, I don't know, March or April for this team. And so it just seemed like the perfect title for the song. I sat down and tried to knock out the first verse and chorus, and I posted it to Facebook and Instagram. And all my Chiefs fans on there just absolutely loved it. And so that's what, you know, kind of inspired me to finish the song and get it recorded. And I, you know, in my head, I think, oh, it'd be really cool if they played this at Arrowhead or something. Never thinking that that would happen ever. This is just like a fun thing to get out for Chiefs fans, to get them hyped for the game. And then the next thing you know, it's being played on KC radio stations and being played in the stadium.
Nashville recording artist Blaine Howard with us here on 610 Sports Radio wrote the song Run It Back. We played it on 610. It's been played at Arrowhead Stadium. Chiefs fans love it. And the lyrics are awesome, too. Like, you really put some thought into the lyrics and some of the stuff that you did. How long did it take you to come up and write that song?
The first verse and chorus took me about an hour, I'd say, to try and really figure it out. Because you have these ideas and you're trying to find things that, you know, that rhyme. And if I make the last line of the chorus Chiefs, then it's harder to rhyme, or Chiefs Kingdom. So Run It Back was a much easier rhyme too. So that kind of worked into that favor. And I had just kind of had these ideas of, I think it was right after or not long after they'd just gotten their Super Bowl rings in the stadium and all that stuff. So I was really hyped about that. The season was about to start. So I was really in the headspace to get that done. And then I just started throwing in from last year's playoff run and things like that. The Even If We Spot You 24 and all that stuff. And just the stuff that only Chiefs fans would really get, that's what I wanted in there. I didn't want it to be just like blatantly Kansas City Chiefs all the way. It's like you really have to be a Chiefs fan to understand some of the stuff. And funny enough, I wrote the No Time for a Victory Lap line before the Raiders game. I just wrote that as a, like, let's not, like, celebrate and spend all year saying we're Super Bowl champs and then not go defend it and not actually come to play. And so that was just kind of the mindset of that. And then a couple of weeks later, the Raiders literally just drove right into that one, and it worked out in my favor.
Yeah, it worked out terrifically because, yeah, I think we knew that it wasn't a part of taking a shot at them, but it was fine taking a shot at the Raiders at any and all times.
It worked out perfectly.
Obviously, you're a big Chiefs fan, so when you're putting this together, did you find any other Chiefs fans to help out, or was this a, hey, I'm gonna do this, and I'm just gonna find somebody that's gonna allow me to indulge my Chiefsness?
Yeah, I wrote the whole song by myself, but when it came down to like producing the track, a friend of mine who's not a Chiefs fan, but one of his best friends is, and he actually, the guy that ended up mixing the track, the Chiefs, other Chiefs fan. He's just great musically, and he loves sports, and he knew, you know, the chant, the war chant, and he knew exactly what drum sound to get on that part of the verse, and just, he knew everything musically that was going to fit perfectly into the song. And then when we sent it to our buddy to mix, who's a huge Chiefs fan, he was just like, oh my gosh, I haven't even, like, I've listened to 30 seconds of this and I'm already hyped for the game.
Blaine Howard with us here on 610 Sports Radio. And I have had the song in my head now for a couple of weeks. Every time I find myself walking around the house, I'm thinking about running back for the boys of 69 and 12th and Vine. And like, it just keeps going on and on in my head. So you need to do a little acapella for us now, my man. You got to sing it, because I got to get my voice out of my head.
Well, I think I've got my guitar right over here. I could probably play a little bit.
Yeah, let's do it. I think we're all up for something like that.
We'll put them on the spot. That's cool. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. You're in your recording space right now, right? You're in your zone.
I am. I'm not exactly in tune, but I won't waste all your radio time tuning it up. So running back for the boys from 69, back for the fans on 12th and Vine. Run it back to back and raise it high. We ain't here to tip the cap. Ain't no time for victory lap. No, we came to run it back.
Yeah, that's great, man. That's is fantastic. And I could just, I was on your website and saw you sitting in the upper deck at Arrowhead, and I'm thinking, man, here's a guy who's loved this team his whole life and now has probably, at least in my opinion, Josh, and we've heard a lot of these songs over the years, this is by far the best one that I've ever heard.
We often get submissions that are fun, that people are really trying, but you're a pro, so right. this was good because you're a professional. So
I mean, what's it feel like to be like just a dude who came up with maybe the new anthem for this football team?
Oh my gosh. Like I said, I didn't even expect it to be anything like that. I just did it to kind of help me and my fellow Chiefs fans get hyped for the game. And like I said, now they played it in Arrowhead Stadium. The Chiefs just used it in a little highlight clip that they posted to social media a couple days ago. I'm completely blown away that's like even a possibility in this world. So I want to say thanks to the Chiefs organization, their entire, you know, social media team for allowing me to be a part of that. And, you know, if we continue to run this thing back, we'll, you know, get a couple more weeks of it. And then if we for sure win the Super Bowl and defend our title, I'll have to, you know, write another one for next year, run it back again.
I got a feel you may be doing the national anthem in the future, my man, right? Like that would be kind of cool. And then maybe perform at the end of the first quarter or halftime or something.
That would be really cool for me. Yeah. I'm not, I mean, hey, if they want me, I'll be there in a heartbeat for sure. That would be an amazing treat for me.
Where can fans find the song and how can they download and how can you make some, you know, some dough off of this one? Right.
obviously streaming it is good. Downloading it, you know, I get a little more of that if you want to download it through iTunes or whatever, but you can stream it on Spotify, Apple Music, Pandora, Amazon, pretty much anywhere that you can find streaming stuff, whatever platform you use, you can find it there. We did a little hype video if you want to check it out on YouTube. I think we've got it on Facebook. Or you can just go to my website. We've got a smart URL that'll take you right to the actual, you know, streaming site that you want. Just go to BlaineHoward.com, and it's one of the first things on the page there.
Has this been better than being at the Super Bowl last year?
Oh, man. I don't know. That was a pretty cool experience. I, you know, snuck in. Like, I didn't sneak in. I bought a ticket, like, as the flyover was happening. So I wasn't in the stadium for the national anthem. Made it into the stadium. Made it to my seat, like, right as we scored that first touchdown. And I was one row from the very top of the upper deck in the corner where I could reach back and touch the concrete at the back of the stadium. I went by myself and I just, you know, randomly sat down next to a bunch of other Chiefs fans. And I've got friends for life of that crew there because we had so much fun watching the Chiefs together win the Super Bowl.
How'd you become a Chiefs fan?
I was actually born about 90 miles south of KC in Fort Scott, Kansas. My mom's entire side of the family is from that area. And so when I was a little kid and went back to visit my grandparents, my grandfather always had the Chiefs on. He was a huge Chiefs fan. We'd go on vacations with them or something. If he was traveling or on an airplane, he had on his Chiefs jersey. Like, that's just something that was always there when I was a little kid. So that's what, you know, that's what made me a Chiefs fan. I grew up in Arkansas. We don't have professional sports teams. So the first thing you're introduced to at a young age, that's what you kind of mock or kind of, you know, move towards. So the Chiefs were it back when I was 5 or 6 years old and never quit.
Was it rough being in Nashville for everybody last year when the Chiefs won a year ago and beat the Tennessee Titans in the AFC Championship game?
It was a little rough. I was getting texts from a lot of friends and things like that. Like, oh man, they're playing the Chiefs. Like, you know, this is going to be an awesome game. I hope we win. I was like, yeah, I love the Titans. I support the local teams. They're probably my, you know, the team I follow other than the Chiefs just because they're here local. But when that game came around, I was like, I made the mistake of watching the game where Mariota threw the touchdown pass to himself and they came back and won. I made the mistake of watching that in a crowded bar with Titans fans a couple of years ago. And I was like, I'm not going to do that this year. And hey, it worked out for us.
Blaine, thanks for a few minutes today. Thanks for the impromptu acoustic and congrats on the song. Hope to see you in Kansas City soon.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much for having me on. Thanks for playing the song and go Chiefs.
And we hope to have another song written at the end of this season.
Absolutely. I'll have it ready to go as soon as we win it.
That's Nashville recording artist Blaine Howard, big Chiefs fan.
No pressure.
Went to the game last year, bought a ticket, rolled in at the last minute.
Yeah, that's a great story. Yeah. But that's kind of the way to do it, man. Yeah. Like at the last second, buy your ticket and go in because they're just trying to get rid of him at that point in time.
Andy Reid isn't just an offensive guru, but a love guru as well.
What?
Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
The big story today in the NFL, Philip Rivers announces his retirement after 17 seasons, 16 with the Chargers and one with the Colts. And he's off to become a high school football coach in Alabama. Dad was a high school coach, his high school coach.
He said it's his lifelong dream.
He's always wanted to be a high school coach.
We're talking about That's Rivers, awesome. Not Binkley, right?
Which I was about to say that. It's shocking to me. I didn't realize Philip Rivers and Jay Binkley shared similar life goals.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty cool. I'm cool that he's got, you know, some other passion he wants to get to now. You know,
but it's good
over.
Because you need it because it's tough, man. You walk away from 17 years of being a professional athlete and everybody talking about you and loving you up and all that kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden you're gone and there's nothing, man. So you got to have something you're going to do. So I'm glad he's found this for him to go out there and do that.
I guess
that.
I never stopped to think about like the glad handing end of things, right? Like, because I mean, when you're a player in the moment, like obviously folks know who you are. I don't think Philip Rivers might not fall victim to this, but somewhere down the line, like you're not going to be that guy anymore. You're not going to be the one that people remember. You're not going to be the face that people remember, and you're just going to kind of fade away into relative obscurity. It's got to suck for those guys having that much attention. Because let's face it, most of these guys have had that much attention paid to them since they were like
forever,
10, 11 years old,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Some
you
even younger
young.
Than that.
Yeah, you know right away, there's got something special here, and then all of a sudden, there you are, now you're retiring. But, you know, if Philip Rivers thought dealing with the media was bad, wait till he deals with parents. that may force him to real retirement.
Yeah.
All right, Mom, I'm not putting up with your nonsense.
He'll say it real politely, though.
Yeah.
So that's
or,
a good part of it.
Or like the dad who thinks he knows more than the coach. Mm-hmm. I played 17 years as quarterback in this league. Do you have something to say, Pops?
I got this.
Because you know that's going to go down. There's going to be some angry parents that don't like the kid isn't getting enough playing time. What does this coach know? A lot. He knows a lot. So just sit back down, sir. Oh, it's going to be good seeing him deal with parents.
And then we'll get the great videos of him throwing to his team.
Yeah.
And then have, you know, high school defensive backs picking him off.
Oh, oh yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah,
of course. That'll be great. Mm-hmm. We'll enjoy that. So, no, congrats on the retirement. Loved him as a rival. That's good. It's awesome having Philip Rivers
for a rival.
As a rival in the AFC West for all those years.
But my goodness. Good Lord.
Andy Reid.
Parents.
Yesterday appeared on the Brian Mitchell Show in Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C.? What? They're not in this. Well, Brian Mitchell, of course, played for Andy Reid. Mm-hmm. And apparently stops by, does the show once a year.
Once a year.
He drops by and does the show. Mm-hmm. He was very, like, super relaxed. Like, I think we get him pretty relaxed when you and I have him.
Yeah.
He's pretty relaxed. Mm-hmm. Certainly not the press conference Andy Reid, which is a vastly different Andy Reid, right?
No doubt.
We get him, I think decently comfortable in our interactions with him. Super comfortable, like, on the floor with a former player.
Yeah, he was.
I stand behind him and rub his shoulders while you guys talk to him.
But with a former player, I mean, it was as if they were having a conversation that was going out nowhere else,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, he was laughing like I never heard him laugh before. He just sounded really relaxed, and I'm like, boy, he's kind of, for a Tuesday, and everybody's talking about the quarterback, you know, with the concussion and all this nonsense, this dude's relaxed, man. He's got this.
I mean, we know that he's a brilliant offensive mind. Little did we know, he's also a love guru. Because they got into how Andy Reid keeps the romance alive in his marriage.
I call her my girlfriend because, you know, when they're your girlfriend, then you sit there and you write them notes and, you know, you're courting them, right? So you're doing everything. You make sure your hair is, I have no hair anymore, but I mean, you make sure it's combed and all of that. And you kind of go the extra mile. So I tell my kids, I'm going to call her my girlfriend. So I keep it alive, right? You keep it alive. She's doing great. She had five children. I had five children, and it completely ruined my body. I'm not sure how this happened. She looks better than ever, and I'm going downhill, man. ruined my body. I'm not sure how that happened.
Like Andy was like so calm and relaxed, making jokes.
Yeah.
It was terrific.
I mean, that was fantastic stuff, right?
Gave birth to five children, and he has the bad body.
That's right.
So that's good.
Yeah, we gotta get advice from Andy Reid on how to keep it real, right? Yeah. Call her your girlfriend.
The another funny part was like Brian Mitchell that was trying to kind of segue, and he's like, "Well, you know, you keep your marriage fresh, kind of like you keep your offenses fresh." Like, I mean, don't even try to segue out of that. Like, don't even. He was trying to make a comparison to how he's evolved as an offensive innovator, and he's kept the offenses alive. I was like, no, man, you had it. Just let him tell the story. It was fine. But it was cool to hear him. He was like in a kind of a different element.
Yeah, I thought it was
great.
Which
is what I've always said, like, one day, I hope he just completely lets his guard down.
Because, mm-hmm.
like, everybody that's around him, like, in a football sense, they rave about, you know, his sense of humor and how relatable he is, everything.
He does a great Mahomes impression.
Yeah, he does a great Mahomes impression, apparently, which you want to, like, we don't get to, largely, the rest of us don't get to see all that.
Right.
And not to say that he's going to be in the camp of what Ryan thinks is, like, Belichick's going to be a stand-up comedian when he's done. I don't think that. Because Ryan's always maintained that Belichick's facade is totally fake, and he's going to be—he's going to just break loose.
How about airline food? Am I right?
It's like Gilbert Gottfried. I'm certain that's not how he is, like off the camera, right?
Right.
So yeah,
So I don't think anybody would go to that extent, but just like he's a fascinating subject.
Yeah, he is.
And I hope one day he kind of, you know, we kind of fully see that. That were those that aren't in the kind of the inner football circle.
Right.
Belichick going to be wearing ascots, calling everything fabulous.
Yeah. Yeah. Sledgehammer and fruit.
I didn't realize it was Gallagher, but I did kind of describe
he's Gallagher 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you ever wonder about airline food? How do they heat it up in those little microwaves? Huh? Hey, get no respect. No. I mean, it's like
Teddy Bruschi, Tom Brady, and Wes Welker walk into a bar.
Right.
Yeah, no, I don't think he's going to be.
Not under my watch, they didn't. Hey!
Yeah, no, I just don't think that's going to be quite the case for Belichick. We'll see. But anyway, it was a cool interview, I thought, because he was, you thought it was like, it showed his, like, a relaxed playoff week.
Yeah.
That may have been the case, too. I just felt like it was just a relaxed It was a former player. He's just having a conversation with a
But
with
during
the
championship game week, you know, it's a big week, right? It's Tuesday. The team obviously is off, but, you know, the coaches are working, and there he is just kind of, you know, just having a good old time and laughing and having fun. I'm like, man, he is really relaxed. And if I would have heard him on that show and he was uptight and tight, and I'd be concerned. But he was so relaxed. As a fan, you got to go, Andy's got this.
They also had an interesting discussion about the going for it on fourth down, the fourth down call that that happened in the Cleveland game.
I love this story.
And hear his kind of reasoning why they go for fourth downs.
They pick out which ones they would do in that situation. So we all have that on our game plan sheet. It was coming down to that potentially, and we just said the guys in the box. Joe Blaymeyer sits up in the box there and does a great job for us, a young guy, and he knocks out. He goes, "Hey, listen, on this next pass play, if we're short, you got a big situation coming up. You might want to think about." So Eric Bieniemy goes, pull out the quarterback's plays right now. So, you know, Mike Kafka did that, and Eric, they looked at it, and by the time I got the play called in, now we end up running it. Mm-hmm. Ancient quarterback runs the ball and gets it, Chad Henne, comes up just a little bit short, and we went right to that list of Chad's from the night before, pulled out the play he liked, and dialed it up and went with it. I think everybody felt that way. Everybody felt that, listen, this was the right thing to do. Don't give them the ball back. How many times did you play when you were playing? Did you give the ball back? You punted it, and then the stinking team drove down, either got a field goal to tie it or a touchdown to win it. You just go, why did I do that? And it's not that you don't trust your defense. I mean, our defense is tremendous, but these offenses in this league right now, they can score from all over the place. And that offense right there is a good offense. So why challenge that? And let's go ahead, and if we've got a good one in the pocket, let's go ahead and knock it out, you know, and see if we can't get it.
No regrets, right? You don't want to have those.
That's right.
You don't have those regrets about not going for fourth downs.
Yep.
It's like, how many times you say, why'd I do that? That's just so great. Like, yeah, I'm going for it. Let's just go for it. Right. Why would I leave some, I got these plays. I'm confident in these plays. Our guys can run them. Why would I not be confident to use them?
I thought it was a great open answer. He had a nice laugh in the middle of it about like,
Chad
what was Henne going
ancient,
on.
Which ancient, was great.
Yeah, we got this ancient quarterback out here running. Like, the whole thing was just really good with Andy Reid and Brian Mitchell. I love, you know, when Andy laughs and he's laughing in that interview. That means they were doing that on the sidelines too. You know, like they're having fun down there. And when you have fun and you're relaxed, you play better, you work better, you do everything better. That's why they say smile all the time, man, because it makes things better for you. And Andy, you can clearly tell, is, I hate to use this term, is having the time of his life. I mean, he's having the best time probably that he's ever had coaching right now. And you can just hear it in his voice. He's laughing. He's having fun. And that whole story of the fourth down thing is like, that's something like a fan would say. What the hell do I want to give it back to their offense for, man? let's just go out there and do it. Let's get this and end this thing.
Coverage of Bills Week brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. Chiefs and Bills, of course, in the AFC Championship game.
Lost.
speaking of that, the 93 AFC Championship game featured, of course, the Chiefs and the Bills. And it featured one Will Shields, who dropped by the show earlier today here on 610 Sports Radio. In just his rookie campaign there, mm-hmm. They thought they would have that place in that AFC Championship game a lot. Didn't quite come to fruition as much as he had hoped. But that rematch, Chiefs and Bills.
Many, many moons ago, that's what I remember about that game. Three. It was my rookie year. It was a blast. I mean, it was one of those things of your rookie year getting indoctrinated by fire, being out there playing the game. Going to Buffalo at the end, of course, it was one of those rough games where, you know, it was cold, freezing cold out there. You remember, even from the introductory, it was one of those things that you were sort of taking pictures in your mind of every little thing that was going on, from, you know, watching Bruce Smith hit the field and watching those guys play. It was one of those rough days. You know, we had the ball inside the 23 times at the beginning, and you know, it was like, okay, we got a shot at this. We could make it happen, and we just couldn't get points out of those. And then from that point on, the second half, it sort of went downhill from there where their offense got rolling, and we couldn't make up. And then when Joe went out, it made it even a little worse at that point because we were, you know, at that point we still had hope that we could make a comeback and win the game because, you know, we had Joe Montana in the huddle.
And what happened to you guys when you did lose Joe? Because you look at, like, last week when Patrick Mahomes goes down, like, everybody's like, oh, my God, Patrick Mahomes is down. What are we going to do? What was the reaction for you guys when Joe Montana went down and was out for the game?
Well, you know, it makes it tough, especially when you're trying to make a comeback and you got the comeback kid in the huddle that was so cool, calm, and collected and trying to make things happen. It does put a damper on you, but you still got to go out there and try to fight, and that was what we tried to do at that point.
Does that come into your head at all in the huddle, or are you just thinking this is what we prepared for, it doesn't matter who's under center, or do you let those thoughts creep in when you're in the huddle?
Well, it becomes rally. You know, hey, we've got to rally around the next person up, next person in the game, trying to make it easier for them to, you know, do the things that needed to be done to try to win the game.
That'd be tough. Will Shields joining us. Former Chief, the Hall of Famer, and when Joe Montana's not there, no offense to Dave Craig, it was good, solid quarterback in his own right.
Sure.
But how would you not go? Or the other day, like, Patrick Mahomes is down.
Yeah.
We're thinking Super Bowl here.
Right. How do you not go, uh-oh, what am I supposed to do? Hang your shoulders,
man? How do you not let your guard down for a moment? You can't.
Well, that's because you got Andy on the sideline going, doesn't matter who plays, we're going to be just fine.
Just pull out.
All right.
Pull out Henny's plays and let's go. A little breaking news on 610 Sports Radio, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Find out how far an extra mile really goes.
Philip Rivers retired.
This is from the Twitter account of one Ian Rappaport. Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes have a very light practice today as part of his plan while on NFL concussion protocol. A source has said could be listed as a limited or did not practice, but his work will ramp up during the week. Mahomes, who has no symptoms, will do some tolerance tests as well.
That's awesome. There you go.
Coming from Ian Rappaport, who will be on the drive today at 2:15. So-ish, somewhere in there.
Hopefully, Mahomes is listed on the first injury report as LP, limited practice.
Or DNP, it says. Could be DNP.
Right, I'd rather have LP.
I would, too.
I feel better about LP.
I would, too. Much better.
He did some limited stuff.
I don't really care what it says next to his name. I'll see you Sunday.
As long as there are enough indications that Sunday's going to happen, I'm cool with it. First injury
or
report.
Or Tuesday, whenever they decide to push the game back to get him healthy.
It's Sunday. The first injury report of the week does come out today. Patrick Mahomes, Bashaud Breeland, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Sammy Watkins, all keeping an eye on things. Of course, CEH last week was a limited practice on Wednesday, but then they backed off him Thursday and Friday. Hopefully he's able to practice all week and he's back for Sunday. Sammy Watkins, I don't know. I'm done predicting the Sammy game. I just can't play the Sammy game anymore. I don't know.
You're out on that one?
Yeah, I'm out on that one. I'll see you Sunday or I won't. I don't know. So we'll be listing Andy Reid after practice today, approximately 1:15. Catch it live right here on 610 Sports Radio. Your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs. If you missed Blaine Howard, that interview was terrific. Sal Capaccio, Bills Radio Network, joined us as well earlier in the show. And Will Shields and Joe Mays. Check them all out, 610sports.com or via the radio.com app. That'll do it for us. Cody and Gold, come your way next here on 610 Sports Radio.
We're done.
And
I gotta go. Bye.
You guys take care.
Have a great day, Bobby. Thank you. Go Royals.
Hey, thanks, Jinx.
Oh, man, I gotta go.
I'm out.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
Talk to you later.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.